Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Wheat Among the Tares, our live program here every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. Thank you so much for joining us today. Pastor Williamson, I want to welcome you to the studio.
Sir, good morning, my brother, and good to see you this morning, as well as all of you that are out there. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast.
Man, we have a great program today.
And looking forward to it.
Brother Eric Clark, he's pastor of Shepherd Grace Baptist Church in Sandpoint, Idaho, way up in the northern part of Idaho. And they've been having a lot of snow there the last few weeks. And Brother Eric is going to be sharing a story with us concerning absolutely a miracle that occurred in his life. And I gave a little bit of information on our website. On our Facebook page, and but I wanted to introduce Brother Eric Clark, Pastor Shepherd's Grace Baptist Church. Good morning, and welcome to Wheat Among the Tares, brother.
Good morning, Brother Blake, and good morning, Pastor Williamson. It is a wonderful privilege and an honor to be on the show with you today.
Well, we want to welcome you back, brother. Yes, this sir. Is second. The time to be with us on Wheat Among the Tares. The last time we were on several weeks back, we had such a good time in talking to you. And I made the comment, I said, we have got to have him back again. So we did. We have him back again. And the gist of this particular broadcast today, it is a miracle in the making. I don't know how else to say it, Brother Clark, other than that, because you have a story. An account that happened to you personally, that happened on the streets of Sandpoint, Idaho. And we talked initially about this, and I wanted you to give some detail. But before we go to that, I want to pose a question, and I'm going to ask Pastor Williamson this question. And it is simply this, and we know from the past broadcast that Brother Clark told us how that he became blind in 2006, and that he described it as one of the best things that ever happened to him, because God has made himself so manifest in his life through what has happened. And these things happen, and Pastor, I know that a lot of times people have questions in their minds about why do things happen to people.
Sure.
But at the same time, God has a plan. God never does anything by accident.
Amen.
And so I guess my question to you this morning is, when those things happen, and I know people have probably asked you that 100 times if you want, how do you respond to that, you know, scripturally wise, you know, your own personal dealings? How do you deal with that?
Well, the Lord helped me with something a while back, a message that he had given me. And I just titled the message, Preaching on Joseph's Life, and some examples of the scripture. I preached a message entitled, When Providence is Painful. And so many times we think of providence as God leads and guides and directs our lives. We think of providence always just being a blessing, and, you know, it's just always full of joy and full of delight, and, you know, as God moves our life. But many times God's providential hand sends us through deep waters, sends us through troubles and trials, allows adversity to come into our life. And without that, God can't get us where he's trying to get us at in our lives, or the place he's trying to get us to.
Exactly.
You know, so many times God's hand, you know, it's painful. And I was just sitting here just now thinking, as you asked me that question, there's so many examples I could give you in the scripture. But I thought about Jacob and Esau. And as Jacob wrestled all night with the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and he said, you know, bless me. The break of day was coming, and he said, I won't turn you loose till you bless me. Well, the blessing, not only did he change his name, but the angel of the Lord touched him in the sinew of his thigh and crippled him for life. Crippled him. He never walked the same. He always had to walk with a staff. Well, when he gets up, imagine how painful that was. I mean, crippled, you know, from this wrestling match, and you're having to try to find a stick, and you're walking with a staff. Well, immediately he goes to meet Esau the next day, the next morning. Esau's coming with an army, and it appears in Scripture that Esau's coming after his brother for vengeance. Well, as Esau approaches Jacob, not only all the, you know, drove that he sent ahead of him,
exactly, yes,
all that stuff, but when he sees Esau far off, he bows to the ground. And the Bible said as he walked to Esau, he bowed seven times. Could you imagine how painful it was to not only do that, but your brother Esau, imagine watching your brother crippled and he's bowing on the ground, struggling to get up, walking. He does that seven times. I'm sure by the seventh time that all the anger, hatred, how can I fight this man, you know,
yes,
really is gone.
Yes.
God used it.
Yeah.
And that providence is painful, but God used the pain and what he sent him through to work for his good.
Amen.
And I believe that all things that happen in our lives, according to Romans 8:28, I know it to be true experimentally, but if we will love the Lord through what we're going through, he will work all of it for our good.
Amen.
Every bit of it.
What a segue, Brother Clerk, into what has happened to you, first of all, and then second of all, the miracles. And I want to clear up, and we've talked about this before we went on the air, but the miracles, that what we're talking about is simply the hand of God in our lives that does things that are way beyond what we can do of our own. And mm-hmm. Brother Eric, I know God's done a lot of things for you. We've had some wonderful conversations, and you've shared with many of them. But this particular situation, I want you to give us, first of all, a little bit of background of how you ended up down there on the street, kind of how God moved your heart, and then the details surrounding it. And I know, again, this story thrilled my heart. I know it's going to do the same for them. So with that, Brother Eric Clerk.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I really enjoyed what Pastor Williamson just said. It is so true. And I absolutely agree with it. And I love that point about how Esau saw him. I think that in to a certain extent, what I'm about to tell you, that's how these people can also be affected by the virtue of the fact that I'm blind and trying to give them the gospel. It softens their hearts, just like it softened the heart of Esau seeing his brother.
Yes.
And so what happened was, it was 2 weeks before, it was the weekend right before. So the weekend before, we were going to start our first service, the week prior to that. And it was in the middle of summer, and my wife and I, we were down in downtown Sandpoint on the streets, handing out gospel tracts on Saturday morning. And we were down at the farmer's market, proceeded down into the rest of the town. And we came to found out that later that afternoon, there was going to be a form of a gay pride parade in Sandpoint that we didn't know was going to be there. And I told my wife that would be a good opportunity to go and give some gospel tracts to some of the folks who would be coming out to view it. And so that being said, we got in the car and we were driving home. And I got on the phone. We were starting to get ready for this first Sunday that was going to be, you know, a week and a day later. But we didn't have a lot of people in our church that were committed to coming yet. So I didn't have any man who I could call upon as like a deacon or somebody to come with me. And I didn't want to take my wife to this event just in case, you know, one never knows what you're going to run into.
Exactly.
And
yes.
So I decided to call up an old friend of mine, who his name is Ken, and I called up Ken, and he was the head deacon of another church, and the man has a really good reputation in Sandpoint. Everybody is well known, and he's a very godly man, a wonderful man. And I called him up out of the blue, and I said to him, "Hey, Ken, it's Eric." And he said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Good." I said, "I got a question for you." He said, "What is it?" I said, "Are you doing anything this afternoon?" And before he could even answer, I said to him, "Wait, can you change your plans if you have any plans?" and there was this pause, and he started chuckling. And he told me later what had happened was in his personal devotion that morning, he had read that God can sometimes change our plans for his glory.
Amen.
So it's sort of like a smaller version of what really happened to me when I had my own personal plans for my life and God changed those, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so he paused and he immediately said, okay, what are we going to do? And I said to him, well, here's the deal. We're going to go to this gay butterfly parade and we're going to hand out gospel tracts. What do you think? And he said, I think we're going to get beaten up. I think it's going to happen. And I said, well, if we do, it's for the glory of God, right?
Amen.
And I kind of joked even and said to him, you know, at least, you know, I wouldn't see it coming,
yeah.
You know? We decided we'll go and do it. And next thing you know, him and I are driving downtown Sandpoint. I've got a backpack with me. I was such an optimist. I think I took about 400 or 500 gospel tracts with me. But I have a backpack and we start walking and we get to the place where we thought that there was going to be this parade, and we only come to find out it wasn't a parade. It was a block party. And people are walking around, you know, with alcoholic beverages, and the area is sort of like cordoned off. And as we're walking towards this area where this event is held, there were two other churches that had gotten there before. And it was really interesting, I think, about the book of Galatians. There was one church who was there almost, one could say, legalism, and they were condemning them. They were on the back of their pickup. It's a Calvinist church in town, and they were shouting, really just repeating the same phrase. They were saying, sodomite queers, burn in hell, and then sodomite queers, burn in hell. And so that was going on, and there was a group that had formed of some of the people, and they were shouting back at them. So the atmosphere was already a little bit on the hospital. It appears to be it's going to get bad.
Yes.
And on the other side, there was another church who was parked just a few cars away from that one, and their mission was just to hand out bottles of water to these people. And I think in a way that's almost like the people with the license to serve. You know, it was kind of like in the, you know, and we were there, and I realized, you know, I have the liberty to give them the gospel. That's the only reason I came down. I was to give the gospel to people. I felt led. I need to give the gospel to somebody. And my friend Kenny said, Eric, are you sure you want to go in? It looks like it's going to get bad. I said, let's go in, Ken. Let's do it. Let's do it for God. And we went in, and it was interesting. I don't often use my blind card, but I do use it for gospel tracts. So I was telling people, would you take something from a blind guy? And they said, what is it? You know, and then I tell them, it's a gospel tract. I'm starting a new Baptist church. And, you know, immediately many of them would just turn around and walk away, or they take it and, you know, throw it away or whatever. And, you know, I started having to tell people, we are not associated with these other guys in the background who are shouting, because you could clearly hear that, and they're chanting their little slogan. And anyways, what God did was something really amazing. Actually, even before the actual big miracle, was he sent somebody to me who was a local radio host of a show, local radio, and he came up to me. The guy's name is Jim. Jim came up to me and he said, Eric, what are you doing here? And I, because he knows, you know, I'm not part of that community. And I said, well, Jim, I'm here because I'm starting a new church, and I'd like to give gospel tracts to the people, because I know that the only way that anybody can get saved is because of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. you can condemn people all you want, but they're already condemned. And the only thing that can save a person is the gospel of our Lord.
Amen.
And so this was interesting. He actually asked me for a gospel tract. The only guy who ever asked me for a gospel tract was, you know, him at that particular event. And so I gave him the gospel tract, and he looked at it and put it in his pocket. And then I believe that because he took it and people saw him talking to me, they became more open to accepting a couple of gospel tracts. But as you know, when you hand out gospel tracts to people, after a while, you fall into sort of like a slump where people start declining them. And then what you have to do is you have to take a break. And so I told Ken, I said, you know, people are not taking the gospel tracts anymore. We had only handed out, you know, a handful or so. I said, let's see If we can just break away for a few minutes and then we can try again, maybe move to another part of this event. But there was a couple of blocks that was in, you know, taking, you know, it was a large area that you could cover. So I said, let's go over there. I heard, over all this noise, I could hear that somebody was playing some sort of game over in that corner. And he said, a game? And they said, yes, I can hear. He's got good eyesight, but you know, his hearing is not the best, and I'm blind, but my hearing is good. And so it was just a perfect match, you know? And so anyways, he said, oh yeah, I see over there, there's a booth and they are doing ring toss. And so I said, well, let's go over there and let's just stand in line. He says, are you going to do some ring toss? And I said, I don't know. I might, but let's, you know, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, but at least I know if I stand in line, I can give the people running the booth a gospel track. And so, that being said, I had no idea what they were even tossing at, whether it was a peg or if it was, you know, what the object was that they were throwing. But I did figure out standing in line, I could hear people say, oh, you almost hit the bottle. Oh, you almost got it. You know, so I figured out that they were throwing at some sort of bottle. I don't know to this day, I don't know if it was a wine bottle or a beer bottle or what kind of bottle, but it was some sort of bottle. And I made it, got to the front of the line, and the ladies there, they could see I was blind. And there was two ladies who was running this booth, and they asked me, can we help you? And I said, well, to be honest with you, I only stood in line because I really just want to give you a gospel track. Would you please accept a gospel track from a blind guy? And in the background, you could still hear these guys shouting, you know, burn, burn in hell, you know, sodomite spears. And this lady said, you know, I'm absolutely not interested. And I said to her, you know, I said, I respect that. I said, but I want to challenge you. I said, I'm going to take my gospel track and I'm going to throw it at that bottle. And I said to her, I don't even know how far the bottle is in front of me. I said, but I'm going to throw it. And if it lands on that bottle, then you have to take the gospel track, but you also have to come to my church. Or you can just take the gospel track. she said, you know what? Give me that gospel track. At this point, it was like, what can I do to get rid of this blind guy? You know? Because there's a couple of people watching, you know? So she took the gospel track, and I said, here's one for your friend, for the other lady that was there. And she also took it. And I said to her, you know, you guys were such fools taking my gospel track. I said, how about you give me them links? And my friend Ken said, you're not going to throw things, are you? I said, I am. And you got to understand, he's got such a dry sense of humor. And I love the guy. And he was like, oh boy, here we go. He's going to just embarrass us both, you know. And, of course, there's a small crowd that's watching us. A couple of people that were standing around and is now got their eyes on us. And they handed me five rings. And I really honestly to this day really don't really realize, know how far the bottle was in front of me. But I got ready to take the first ring, and I was just about to, you know, move it back to throw it. And Ken said to me, stop. You may want to turn 60 degrees to your left. You're about to throw that ring into the crowd. And when he said it to me, some of the people, they heard him. And I heard, you know, somebody was giggling and laughing and saying to somebody, look, the blind guy is going to throw at the bottle. Look at the blind guy. And I said, okay, and I turned a little bit to my left, and I took that thing, and I just threw it. And I figured, you know, my idea was not to get it over the bottle or anything. I was just going to throw it and just to be a good sport, and hoping that maybe perhaps making a fool of myself, I could get these people to loosen up a little bit and just take some track. You know, yes, that was the whole game, was just to be a fool for the Lord and you know, get these people to take this track. Anyway, and so
Brother Clark, I want to interrupt you just a second. I want to let people know that we're talking with Brother Eric Clark. If you just join us, he's a pastor from Shepherd's Grace Baptist Church, Sandpoint, Idaho. And Brother Clark is relating an event that happened at a gay pride situation in Sandpoint, Idaho, and he's at a booth at a ring toss, and he's getting ready to describe, in essence, what he has done to get people to take the gospel track and hear what he has to say about the gospel. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, thank you, Brother Blake. And so I took that first ring, and I just threw it. And in my mind, I'll just tell you, gentlemen, how this came about. I pictured the ring, the bottle, to be perhaps 20 feet or so in front of me, like a horseshoe type thing. And I was throwing as though I was going to throw this thing 20 feet away. But I guess the bottle was on some table a little bit closer. But at the arc that I was throwing, I hit the bottle. And there was my friend Ken, he said to me, "You actually hit the bottle." And it was funny because people in the crowd said, "Hey, watch, the blind guy hit the bottle." You know, and so more people are now turning and watching. And so I turned to the some of the bystanders, and I just said, you know, jokingly, I said, "This blind guy is going to throw this ring at that bottle. And if I get one ring over that bottle, then you guys have to take my gospel track. That's the deal." I didn't really give them much of a choice, you know. And they were laughing. And at this point, you know, they sort of like partaking in this crazy thing that I'm about to do. And then the second thing I took, I threw it. And it really, I honestly have to say, it felt like the thing just flew out of my hand. It was a weird thing. And it went through the air, and it went swoosh over the bottle. A perfect shot.
Wow.
And I know we are Baptists, and I know this, that we are not charismatic, but this really happened. And amen. I believe that God had put a man there who was, everybody knows he's not going to lie when he tells them the story. And so I had a witness, a really good witness. And so when that thing went over the bottle, somebody in the crowd said, "The blind guy got it, the blind guy got it." And so I was just about surprised as they were, because I didn't know what I was throwing at. And so I turned to them, I said to them, "Now you guys have to take my gospel track." And I still had a sack in my hand. I'm holding, you know, the remaining three things and the gospel tracks in one hand. And I took another thing with my other hand, and I get ready, and I'm not done throwing yet. And I threw the next ring, and it went out of my hand, and it went swish over that bottle.
Wow.
And it's two in a row. And somebody in the crowd, now more people are watching, and somebody said, "He cannot be blind." I'll never forget this. This guy shouted, "He cannot be blind. He's messing with us. He's just absolutely, he's a professional ring tosser, and he's messing with us." And so that made even more of them look. And I turned, I said, "No, you guys have to take my gospel track." And then I flew the next ring, and it went out of my hand, and it went swoosh over that bottle.
Wow.
And it was three in a row.
Wow.
And I said to someone standing by, I said, "One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost, three and one." I said, "You guys have to now take my gospel." I said, "Do you realize that's a miracle you just saw?" I said, "You have to take my gospel track." The two ladies were out there, and their mouth just must have dropped open. You know, my friend said everybody was just looking at me with their mouths open, and they were just, what in the world? And then I had one thing left, and that was the last thing, the fifth one. And I said, "This thing is me. I'm going to try my very best to get it over that bottle." And I threw it, and it didn't even get within, I think, not even within 10 feet of the bottle. I mean, it missed the bottle by, it was so funny. But I turned around, and I had that stack of tracks in my hand. And you guys know, when you hand out gospel tracks, when you have a stack, you know, your hands can only hold about maybe 20 or so. You know, they are the thick, you know.
Yes.
And whatever I had in my hand, it just flew out of my hand. Those guys took them. I was handing them out left and right. And in the background, I could still hear these other guys shouting, "Sodomite queer, burn in hell, burn in hell." And I turned to my friend Ken, and I said to him, "Ken, I think God has done what he wanted to do here. We got them gospel tracts handed out." I said, "Let's go."
Amen.
And you know, the interesting thing about it is a couple of weeks after that, I'll just say this, we were out handing out gospel tracts again, door knocking, and I came to a door, and there was a lady there, and she was in an apartment complex. I was handing out, talking to somebody at a lower apartment, and she was out, hanging out the window at the higher apartment, and she shouted and said, you know, I know you're not blind. I know that guy. He cannot be blind. He's not blind, you know. So in a way, what happened was the only way some of these people, I think, could convince themselves that this was not a miracle was by trying to deny the power of God and saying that this guy cannot be blind. But I can assure you, I am totally blind.
Yes, I know. Brother, what indeed. Pastor, you got to admit, that is an absolute blessing.
Amazing. What an amazing story.
It is. And I know that people right now probably sitting listening to this either live or either on a podcast later, they have to say, to the Lord be the glory. And there are probably some of them sitting there shaking their heads saying, how did he pull that off? Yeah. But, brother, we know that our God certainly can do.
Well, the odds of it happening once is amazing. Twice is something else, but three, well, it sure takes it to another level.
It does.
Yeah.
It really does. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I used to work in the you know, as a programmer, and we used to calculate that algorithms to calculate this. And one of the things I can say is it would be about as insane as, you know, I think that you are venturing into the realm of something that is the possibility of 1 in 10 to the power of 50, which is really where the cutoff line is for impossibility.
Yes.
And of something like this happening, it would be essentially you picking an atom on this planet Earth and picking the right atom. You know, it's not just the chances of a person hitting three hole in one, you know, in a row. It is, you're talking about a blind person doing this and happening three times in a row. The statistical possibilities is so past the point of impossibility. But what it really showed me is that the glory belongs to the Lord. He gets all the glory because there is just absolutely no way I could have done that. And I have to say, that whole week prior to this, we were dealing with a lot of stuff. You know, I had finished my degree. It was hard to get through, you know, get the Bachelor of Divinity being blind. It was hard to start a church. I had done all the paperwork myself. The Christian Law Association has given me the booklets, which I'm so thankful for them. And I'm so glad you guys had, you know, Brother Gibbs on last week.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
they were so great in helping me get my church off, you know, getting the paperwork through their documentation and their booklets they have. I was able to do all the paperwork myself blind and file it and get everything. Because if you're going to do it, you got to do it right?
Yes.
And got to equip yourself for the ministry, do everything right. And so I did that, and we are getting ready to start our church, and there was just so many things that happened that I could probably write a book about it that was the devil trying to derail our ministry and stop it from even taking off in standpoint. And I needed that. Personally, I really needed that. I was on my knees most of that week praying and asking God to please show me that he can use a blind person in the ministry. And when I went out that Saturday morning with my wife to go do soul winning and hand out gospel tracts, you know, I had no idea that he was going to do something like that later on in the day. We were just doing what we thought was what the Lord wanted us to do.
Amen.
And I believe that is when God is going to show up, is when we are just being good stewards, good servants, and obedient to his word, and just going out there and doing what he wants us to do. And, you know, I had asked the Lord to show me, and, you know, I have to admit, we always have a little bit of doubt in our mind. Mm-hmm, am I doing the right thing? Is this what God wants me to do? But, you know, you deceive not because you ask not. So I asked the Lord, show me. And he sure did that day. I went home. When I told my wife what had happened, she said, Ken, did that really happen? And he told her, he said, it really happened. Yeah.
Glory to God, my brother. I'm telling you, that is a wonderful, wonderful testimony of the grace of God. And certainly, not only to those people, but as you describe, my brother, it was a testimony to you that, yes, God can use Amen. Anyone that he chooses to do. And certainly, I know that's been an encouragement. I know it's an encouragement to me today. And I was sitting across from Pastor here, and his eyes just kept getting bigger and bigger. And what a blessing, Brother Eric, it has been to hear this particular account. Brother, I want to thank you for joining us here this morning. And before we close, I want just to, Pastor, to take just a minute to pray for you, for your wife and your children, and certainly for Shepherd's Grace Baptist Church. And God would continue to use you there.
Yes.
Let's pray.
Father, thank you for, Lord, the blessing and the joy it was to do this podcast today and hear Brother Eric speak of your hand, your miraculous hand in his life. And Lord, for the purpose of getting your gospel to people who otherwise would not have taken a gospel track.
That's right.
And shows us our care for the souls of men. And pray, Lord, that you bless him and his wife and his children. We ask your blessings, Lord, upon the ministry there, Shepherd's Grace Baptist Church, that you'll bless it and flourish it, that you'll add to him, God, as you see fit. Pray that you would help him in days ahead of all that he'll deal with in the ministry. Lord, that you'll continue to mold him as a preacher, that you'll use him, Lord, for the sake of souls being saved and, Lord, people's lives, Lord, being put back together by your grace, Amen. Marriages being helped, Lord, so many things that you want to do there in that community. And I thank you for putting him there. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless him as he labors in your vineyard. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Brother Amen. Eric Clark, Pastor Shepherd Grace Baptist Church, Sandpoint, Idaho. Brother, thank you so much for being here with us today on Wheat Among the Tares. God bless you, my brother.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. Pastor, what a story.
Amen.
That was, I love it. Yes. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And I trust that what you have heard today has certainly been a blessing to you, that it'll encourage your faith for sure. Again, thank you for joining us this morning. Trust that you'll pray for us here. Pray for the ministry of Gethsemane Global Radio and Wheat Among the Tares. God bless you and have a wonderful day.